Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR 96.3, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Yes, it's that time of year when March Madness means college basketball takes center stage. The NCAA tournament. Yes, the phone lines too are open. This is the Insight segment. We want to hear from you. You can be part of this conversation. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. But before we get to you, we've got to sort of set the stage. Hey, the Howard Bison men's basketball team. They left campus today to acclaim and cheers in preparation for their opening round game against the number one seed Kansas Jayhawks. Earlier today, I had a chance to chat with the Bison head coach, Mr. Kevin Blakeney. First off, I wanted to know if he was still in a state of euphoria over his team's trip to the Big Dance for the first time in over three decades.
Honestly, I've thought about it, but I haven't really thought about it. I think because of some of the things that come along with winning the MEAC championship and being advancing to the NCAA tournament in terms of interviews or the media request stuff. But otherwise, it's just a normal game for me that we're preparing for and like a road game for me. So it's I'm staying in my daily routine outside of a little bit more interviews that I'm having at this point in time.
Yeah, that was the next question, that you're going to be playing the number one seed, the defending NCAA champions. How do you have your team in a position where they're not in that state just glad to be there? Because we've only seen one time in the NCAA tournament history, right, where a number one has upset a number 16, and that was UMBC against UVA, two local teams, by the way, you know, 5 years ago.
Well, having that as a little bit of a template, knowing that that has accomplished or been done already, is a good thing for us. With the way that basketball is now, the basketball world is smaller, and a lot of our players have grown up playing against these guys since they were 9, 10 years old. So there is a lot of familiarity with a lot of these players. We have guys that have gone to nationally recognize, or you know, programs in terms of high school programs. They play on national circuit AAU programs. So there's a certain familiarity with all the basketball players across the landscape that kind of makes things a little bit less frightening, I would say, when you go up and compete against these guys. Sometimes maybe not knowing these guys and reading about them or seeing them on TV may make it a little bit more opposing, but because these young men have been playing with guys that have gone to Kansas, guys that have gone to Duke, guys that have gone to Maryland, guys that have gone to UConn since they've been, you know, 10 years old, it really makes the basketball world a little smaller.
Coach, take us back to Saturday night. You're down 4 points with 23 seconds left, and you have no timeouts, and you end up winning the game. Take us back to those 23 seconds that were left, and then once it was all over and you knew that you all were heading to the tournament and had won the MEAC, not only the regular season title, but the tournament title.
Yeah, God is good, man. God is good. You know, we didn't have any timeouts, and we were down four at that point in time. I think, you know, we had called a play, ran the play. A little bit of the play had broken down, and Elijah Hawkins threw the pass into Shaheem Odom. Shaheem was trying to go to work in the post, and they really helped and overhelped it a little bit. Shaheem made a beautiful pass out to Marcus Dockery, and Marcus knocked down one of the biggest threes in Howard history to put us to 1 point. We were able to, at that point in time, get into our press, which allowed us to double team their best player and the MVP player of the year, the MEAC, Joe Bryant. And when Joe was trying to get open versus our full court traps, you know, there was a he zigged, and the person that was taking the ball out thought he was zagging, and he threw it out of bounds, and we were able to get the ball. And from that point, we got it in, and we ran a 1-5 ball screen flat action. And Jelani did a great job of getting downhill, putting pressure on the referees, and forcing the referees and forcing Norfolk State to make a play. And, you know, what a play by Jelani. He went to the free throw line, knocked down the 2 free throws, and, you know, then we had to get back on defense. And what a big-time stop. They had one of their better players, a 6'9 young man who was a first-team all-league guy, posted up against Jelani Williams, who's 6'5". And Jelani did a great job of enforcing his will for not letting that guy get all the way to the basket. We had great rotation, and Marcus Dockery, who just made that big-time shot, he did a great job in the trap against Joe Bryan with Elijah Hawkins, came over and got his fingertips on the shot, and you know, the rest is history.
And I know all that you're talking about, right? All those specifics, all that inside basketball. But for those out there who hear you, coach, and they're like, oh, I don't totally understand all of that. But all I know is I saw pictures of the coach and his players cutting down the nets. You came to Howard 4 years ago, your first season, you were 4-29, right? Talk a little bit about, from that first season, changes you had to make to where you are now and what happened to you Saturday night. What's that been like, that sort of trajectory from where you began to where you are now, coach?
Yeah, no, great question, and thank you for asking it. Our 4-29 season, it was a season of trying to establish the culture. And in doing so, sometimes to move forward, you got to take a step or two back. And unfortunately, in the process, that's what we had to do. We had to have a buy-in with our culture that, you know, if we don't have that 4-29 season, we don't have the season that we're having right now today. And that kind of was the jumpstart of the program, even though we had to almost blow it up to kind of set down the foundation of how we like it and how we wanted to move forward with establishing our culture. Our second season, we get McCore Maker. We have Nogel Eastern, and it's probably an unbelievable recruiting class in terms of the ranking and the national recognition that comes along with recruiting somebody like a McCore Maker. And 5 games into the season, we had to shut the season down because of COVID. We had 13 young men from a period of January 1 to about January 4 or 5 to come down with COVID. And the ramifications of that, I wasn't, you know, ready to handle, because I saw young men that were not responding to some of the physical challenges asking them to do when they had come back from COVID. So instead of having something that could have gone another way, I thought that Dr. Fredericks as well, and our athletic director, Mr. Kerry Davis, to shut the season down and kind of let's get a restart and a reboot on year 3. Year 3, we came in and we brought in 2 graduate transfers that I was familiar with, Ty Bibbs and Randall Brumont, from my time that I spent at Columbia as an assistant coach. 2 guys that I thought would be huge for the foundation of our program. They were mature. They had been coached. They had gone through the rigors of the Ivy League season, and they meshed really well with our guys. And subsequently, we were able to finish 2nd in the MEAC in terms of conference play, and our first winning season in 20 years. So, you know, that kind of has propelled us to this year. Adding 2 more Ivy League guys to our team, Jelani Williams from UPenn, a local guy from the DMV that attended Sidwell Friends here in the district, and Colby Dixon from Holcomb, Kansas, that attended Cornell University, were our graduate seniors this year. And both of those guys, with their leadership and the things that they've brought into our team with the intangibles, their voice, their presence, has really connected and ignited our program, along with guys that we've had, like Steve Suttles from DeMatha Catholic High School, a PG County young man. Elijah Hawkins, another DeMatha Catholic High School young man that grew up in Northeast Washington, D.C. We have Marcus Dockery, who grew up in Southeast D.C., attended Roosevelt High School before he went off to attend Brewster Academy and University of Maryland, transferred back to us. So, you know, we were able to put the pieces together to really, I think, have one of the best years in the history of our program. I think the second best year in the history of our program. And, you know, I'm so proud to say that we've had the winningest program, more wins than Georgetown, more wins than University of Maryland, more wins than George Washington, George Mason, and American University. Our program's winning percentage has been the best in the DMV over the last two seasons.
What's it been like for you, the team, and the impact that you're having on the Howard University family?
Well, I think it's it gives us an opportunity to tell the Howard University story, our history, our legacy, our excellence from a different context. You know, our story has never really been told from a sporting lens. So this allows us to talk to fans that and people that may not know much about Howard University and how we can really, I think, amplify our narrative that we are one of the top 80 schools or 83 schools in the world. We do have and we produce more, you know, PhDs and medical doctors, Black African-American medical doctors than any other university in the country. We could talk about our alums from, you know, Toni Morrison to Zora Neale Hurston to Chadwick Boseman to Thurgood Marshall to VP Kamala Harris and all the wonderful things that they've done. So it just puts things and allows us to be able, I think, to speak upon the university's greatness, our alums, the great things that they've done with their legacy and are doing currently, and the tradition of our university.
Well, listen, Coach, you've got a pedigree. Outstanding high school player here in the area. As you mentioned, you are local, so you know the district in this area. DeMatha grad, played for the great Coach Morgan Wooten. You're a two-time NCAA champion at Duke University, playing for a Hall of Famer coach, Mike Krzyzewski. So it seems like you've got a setup. You've got all of the elements. You've got all of the innards to shock the world. So I'm sure you're prepared for that on Thursday.
Well, our guys are invested, and we work just as hard as any team in the country. And our guys have embraced hard, tough work. So I know that they'll be ready. We just really want to make the city proud. We want to make Howard University proud. We want to make the Howard alums proud. And doing so really amplify the message and the great things that Howard has done for not only our city, our students, but for the world. I always talk about, like, what would our world be without Howard University? You know, and when you think about that and you really, you know, let that kind of process, that's a deep thing to say. Like, what would our world be without Howard University? So I'm just honored and thrilled and humbled to say that I teach, I lead young men, and I'm an educator at one of the greatest universities in the world.
Well, Coach, we will be watching. Best of luck. As I said, it's only happened once, but since it's happened once, that means it can happen a second time. And we appreciate you taking the time and safe travels, and we'll be watching.
Thank you so much. I appreciate this. It's such an honor to be on WHUR. I mean, growing up as a young man, if we were in the car at 7 o'clock, our radio was always tuned to The Quiet Storm and Melvin Lindsay. So to have a chance to be on the air here, man, means a lot to me.
Head coach Kevin Blakeney even giving a shout out to the late, great Melvin Lindsay. Howard in Kansas, they tip off Thursday at 2 o'clock from Iowa. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You heard Curtis Blow. Tonight we are talking basketball. You heard from Coach Blakeney. Now you're going to hear from our guests in a few moments to talk more about the NCAA tournament, what Howard may have in store, what's waiting for them, taking on the defending champion Kansas Jayhawks and the #1 seed. Our guest tonight joining us in studio is Winston Hilton. He is a sports producer and reporter with WJLA-TV. And on the phone line with us is Kelsey Nicole Nelson. She's a sports reporter and host. Again, phone lines are open 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kelsey, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor and pleasure. And, you know, as Coach said, you know, growing up listening to WHUR, it's full circle for me. And then what better time to talk about college basketball when so many of our teams are making history. And so excited to be a part of that tonight. So thanks for having me.
Oh, big shout outs to WHUR tonight. And Winston Hilton. Winston, you can do your shout out if you like, because I know you're local too. You know, you got to join the party here.
Well, I have to echo Kelsey's sentiments. You know, just to be in the presence of yourself as well as in the same studios that Melvin Lindsay was in. I mean, you know, pinch me now because I don't think I want to wake up.
And look, we do have to pinch Winston. Again, I must say, Kelsey, we were talking off mic, and I was asking Winston some about his background, and he told me he's a graduate of Norfolk State.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And if anybody has been following Howard over the week.
Oh, no.
Again, you heard that question. Norfolk State was up by 4 points with 23 seconds. But, Winston, I got to say, you're taking it well.
Man, you know what? You know, makes it okay is that the game, it was a great game. It was a thrilling game. It was captivating. You know, although my alma mater ended up on the wrong side of it, I'm actually very happy for Coach Blakeney and a lot of the guys because, you know, working up here with 7 News, you know, I've talked to a lot of the Howard players. You know, Shai Odom was one of our athletes of the week. So, you know, I've become a lot closer to some of these guys with the Bison. So it's okay.
Well, we're going to talk a lot more with Kelsey and Winston and you. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One reason why I love talking basketball, and I'm dating myself. You know, this is one of my favorite songs.
I knew you were going to go there.
All time, it really is. So I always like talking basketball because we get to play this song. We're going to take a quick break. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. Or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Again, phone lines are open, 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm is next on 96.3 WHUR with John Mons. And Jerry West play basketball at its very best. Basketball has always been my thing. I like Magic Bird and Bernard. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight our focus is on basketball. We started with hearing from the head coach of the Howard Bison, Mr. Kevin Blakeney. The men's basketball team will take on number one Iowa. They will take on number one Kansas in Iowa Thursday at 2 o'clock. But we're going to talk about all the brackets, everything that's going on in college basketball, maybe even get a little bit about Georgetown and their search for a new head coach. Whatever's on your mind regarding college hoops, tonight's the night, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kelsey, I don't know if you got a chance to hear much of Coach Blakeney's comments, but he's kind of talked a lot about throughout the week about Howard's progress that they've made over the last 4 years since he's been the coach. I mean, they were 4-29 in his first year. Then the pandemic came. And here's a guy, Kelsey, like all of us, who's local but was a star player at DeMatha, was a player of Duke's team, won 2 national championships. And now he has Howard in the tournament 31 years from the last time they were there. What do you think this means for a program like Howard to make it into the NCAA tourney?
Yeah, I think he touched on it so specially. And you talked about the 4-29 season. And, of course, COVID happened, right? So you get to play 5 games that season. And then he talked about it, the local recruiting push. And I know we're going to talk Georgetown later, but the DMV people, it breeds basketball players. And he was able to get them to Howard University, right, the Mecca. Then he was able to go on to 16-13 season. And then we get to this season, folks, and you get to 22 wins, a MEAC regular season title, and then you're going to the tournament. And for folks like me who were not around when the last time Howard University, you know, went to the tournament, it's just special. And it truly shows that something special is happening at Howard University. And I think what this does for HBCUs, you know, you go back to the year of 1985 when you first had North Carolina A&T and Southern, you know, breaking the NCAA tournament ground when they made their first appearances by an HBCU in the D1 men's basketball tournament round of 64, right? So 1985, and, you know, you look at since then, we've had 18 HBCU men's basketball programs play in the first round of the March Madness bracket. And, you know, it doesn't get away from me, Bramante. I just got off an interview with Butch Lee, you know, whose son, Matthew Lee, was part of St. Peter's. That Cinderella story last year, and they were able to knock off Kentucky, and we talked about how special that was. And, oh, by the way, his son was doing something special at the free throw line, and I know Coach touched on that, you know, as well in their last game. And so I think this really shows that anything is possible, and I think we're living in a world right now, you know, where there is so much conversation around historically Black colleges and universities, and we've been talking a lot about it on the football side of things, but I think Howard University is saying, hey, watch out for us in basketball as well. And again, I know we'll probably get to this later, but Howard University Bison people might not like this, but Kenny's name is even being thrown around, yeah. And some people think he might need to lead another big basketball program here in the area,
yeah,
that's looking for a coach. So
I know.
Everything, Vermont.
I will get to that, but I don't know if they want me to talk about that on the radio station. You know who I work for right now.
I know. I'm sorry. I had to mention
it. No.
Inspiring so many, you know, with the team that he had.
Without a doubt. And you mentioned St. Peter's, you know, I got to sort of – it took me back because when I worked in New Jersey covering sports, I used to cover St. Peter's. And the funny thing is, you know, when they had that upset last year, their coach, Shaheen Holloway, I was there when that kid was coming out of high school. And they were talking about, where's he going to go? Where's he going to go? And he ends up going to Seton Hall. And now he's coaching that team. But, Winston, I think Kelsey brings up such a good point about HBCUs, you being a graduate of one. And, you know, if you win the MEAC tournament, you get to the NCAA. So this isn't new for, you know, HBCUs. But what do you think it means, number one, for Howard, right? And does it also say something or mean something for HBCUs? Howard does have a certain cachet, the name, right? And so what that can mean. So it's a twofold thing. One, Howard, and maybe broader to Kelsey's point.
Absolutely. I think, you know, really, I put this out there in the social media realm. I said, you know, for all the rumors that, you know, Coach Blakeney might be headed somewhere, you know, further northwest, I said, honestly, this Howard job might be better than the other job.
I'll
break that down.
Because folks want to go, what job are they talking about?
It is the Georgetown job, the other Hilltop.
Right.
Howard offers, and this is brought on by the wave of a lot of potential five-star recruits coming to visit HBCUs. Mm-hmm. It's been happening. Coach Blakeney actually had one last year, a couple years ago, with McCurr Maker. He ended up coming to the Hilltop. Didn't pan out the way that they wanted it to, with him getting injured. But yet and still, he was still coming here. Shai Odom, another guy that was a highly recruited player, ended up coming to Howard. The wave of recruits that are actually trying to come to Howard, probably a lot more than Georgetown at this point, mm-hmm. right now. So riding that wave, this Howard job might seem to be a little bit better suited for Coach Blakeney at this point. As well as, you know, just the history of HBCUs in the tournament as well has been actually not that bad. Now, mind you, there are a lot of cases where, you know, HBCUs don't fare that well, but look at last year. Norfolk State playing in the play-in game actually won. They won a NCAA tournament game.
And, you know, that's an interesting conversation because sometimes folks, and I heard, I think, in another interview, someone asked Coach Blakeney, would you had rather have been in a play-in game, right, to say that you won a tournament game to then get into the broader tournament? And I think he said, I could see some value in that, but I like being in the 64 right off the bat.
Absolutely. And those national eyeballs that get to see your program, get to see the coach actually coach. Like, if you know, on those games, on those broadcasts, they'll normally do an inside the huddle segment where, you know, cameras, mm-hmm. basically inside the huddle. And, you know, one of my friends, Junior Burrow, UVA legend, he said that, you know, just the way that Blakeney, and I saw the same thing, I can relate. When he was in the huddle with his guys during the MEAC championship, I mean, Junior said he was ready to run through a wall. The segment before this one, just tonight, he was talking about Howard and you know the atmosphere, the aura of the of Howard itself. And I was like, wait a minute. Where can I sign up to go? Where can I sign up for, you know,
you better watch yourself.
I can get it, you know,
Norfolk alum's going to be listening.
I know, but it's good for Howard in that space where they can, you know, they have all the eyeballs on them and now they can show the world what Howard has.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have some comments about Howard basketball, what you think they can or cannot do, basketball in this region. Again, we've got Maryland in the tournament on the men's side. On the ladies' side, we're going to talk about them also. You've got Maryland there. I think James Madison is also in the tourney. You got UVA on the men's side also locally. So we're going to try to squeeze in all of that. But let's get to the phone lines before I go back to Kelsey real quick. DJ Malott is calling from, where are you calling from, DJ? Milotti, is that it? Is that how it's pronounced, DJ?
DJ,
yeah, go right ahead. What's your question or comment?
I have a comment. I have a full circle moment. First of all, HU?
You know.
Oh.
There it is.
I even know. I'm a Maryland grad, but that's okay.
It's okay. You know the letters and call me. I got you.
Yes, sir.
Big shout to the Howard University Bison basketball team and the swim team for all that matter.
Yes, yes.
Making the front cover, mm-hmm. Sports Illustrated, that's unprecedented. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
My full circle moment is something that I really have to share. You mentioned earlier when you ran off the names of the players, and one of them was Marcus Dockery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a founding and original member of the platinum rap group DJ Cool. I know you know the music, Let Me Clear My Throat and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, though. His father, Marcus Dockery Sr., was a founding member of our group as a dancer. And Spin the Bottle, this many years later, his son hitting winning shots for HU.
Mm. It's full circle. Isn't that usually how it is? There's usually a connection?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. We used to call him Palo. His father's name was Palo. Anyway.
Well, look, you're dropping all that inside information. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thank you.
So it's really cool, man, to see that. And that boy hit that winning shot like that. It was really cool. That's the full circle moment that I just wanted to share. And we're pulling for the Bison, baby.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate your call, sharing all of that sort of history. Kelsey, here's history for us, right? Only one number 16 seed has knocked off a number one seed, specifically in the men's tournament. UMBC, local, Baltimore. Against UVA, local. Does Howard have a chance?
Right. I mean, that's the question everyone's asking. And I think the great thing about basketball is that it really is anyone's game. You know, we have all these, you know, guys that step up in the tournament and players, right? Sometimes it's a bench player that might step up. You know, Nick, you just have to have your on day. And, you know, I really quickly, Bramante, want to take people back to last year when it was actually the Howard woman that we were talking about,
okay.
Right, in the
mm-hmm.
tournament. And, you know, I think, and obviously they played a top seed in South Carolina. Didn't go the way, you know, things panned out. Because if you guys remember, South Carolina actually held Howard women to 21 points, which was the fewest allowed in women's NCAA tournament history.
Mm-hmm.
So this was kind of like a fresh breath of air for Howard. And again, I'm a girl that loves Howard University. But all that to say, it can happen. It's going to be hard. I mean, you're taking on the defending champions, right? And, you know, but again, it's anyone's game. I think the biggest thing for Howard is they're going to have to be able to shoot the three ball. Because again, you're taking on a Kansas team that can score. And I remember when UMBC was able to defeat UVA, and of course, UVA and another team making the tournament this year, but the Retrievers were special and players stepped up. You know, these guys were able to play team basketball. Players were able to knock down their shots. And so I think, you know, you look at history, look at Kansas being 2-0 against Howard all time. But, you know, when something's going for you, it's going for you. And when something's special, it's special. And when guys can step up and be the guy and be the man, it truly can be anyone's game, I think, in this one. So saying all that to say, Bramante, it's not going to be easy for Howard, but this is why we love March. This is why we call it
without a doubt
madness, right? I mean, this is why we love it, because you truly don't know what's going to happen. That's why, Bramante, when people call me and say, Kelsey, who should I pick in my bracket? No, I'm not giving you any advice, because, again, it's hard to do, but, you know, you think about it and just, you know, the, we talked about Shai Odom, I know, on this call, or, you know, Jelani Williams. I mean, it's going to take anybody to be able to kind of be that guy. You know, you're hoping that they can play good defense against this team. And who's to say Kansas is not going to have an off day, you know, in that game? I think when you have seen the number one seeds upset, it's because they've taken that team that they're playing lightly. And, of course, you don't want that to happen. But I think Howard's going into this game with a renewed sense of confidence. They're believing in themselves, and they have the DMV behind them on their backs to win this game. So I think they're going to take it like any other game. But I would just say never again. It's not going to be easy, hoping that they can shoot the three ball. I know, I think in the last game, I believe they only had one three in that second half. Against Kansas, you're going to have to be on both halves, and you're going to have to be able to score and go basket for basket with them and hopefully keep this game close.
What do you say, Winston? Bill Self has been out.
Yes.
But I think he's going to be back for this game, right? He had some kind of some heart issues here.
He's going to be back.
He's going to be back. What do you think, Winston? And what is it, the template that Kelsey lays out, that you got to play great defense, you can't have a whole lot of turnovers? I mean, you know, sometimes you look at these and you think, either you got to play the perfect game or Kansas has to be sleepwalking. Because Kansas should win.
For a 16 seed, yes, it has to be the perfect game.
Right.
It absolutely does. But, you know, what's really good and what Coach Blakeney has done to this team, I mean, they're very disciplined offensively, which you kind of see. I'm not a basketball coach or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I will not drop the X's and O's. But you can tell from their spacing on the floor that they are really disciplined in how they practice and how they play in the games. Yes, and you alluded to it just a second ago, turnovers. You cannot have turnovers against a team that you're already an underdog too. So if you can take care of the basketball, space the floor well, because if you space the floor well, that will give you an opportunity for possibly some three-point opportunities, some clean three-point opportunities. And if you can get those clean shots, you've seen it this year. This team can knock down those three-point shots, with the exception against Norfolk State. But in any event, they can knock down the shots, but they have to play a perfect game in order for them to and Kansas – well, you know, obviously have to have an off day, because the Jayhawks' talent is there, even though I think one of their players did miss a couple of games in the Big 12 tournament. So it's going to take a lot for Howard to win, but there's always a chance.
Hey, and we're going to be watching. Again, the game is Thursday at 2 o'clock. So if you're working, you have to Devo it or put your headphones on so folks won't tell you who won or lost. And the team, was heading to the airport today. We had a chance to catch up with the coach. So they may have landed in Iowa by now. So just a great story, and we're going to be watching. So we're going to segue over and keep moving. We're going to be talking more basketball. We're going to come back, talk a little about the locals, Maryland, UVA, make sure we get the ladies in. And James, you're on the line. We know you're calling from Delaware. Yeah, I used to live in Delaware. We're going to get to you, too. This is the Insight segment. We're talking hoops tonight. We'll be back right after this timeout. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. We're talking about the NCAA tournament. Howard University will be on the court Thursday at 2 o'clock on the men's side, taking on the Kansas Jayhawks in the first round. Locally, we've got University of Maryland on the men's side. They're in the tournament. Eighth seed.
Correct.
Yep. And we've got UVA in the tournament not long ago, fourth seed. Yep. We're going to talk about them. First, we're going to go to phone lines. I almost forgot about you, James. James calling from Delaware. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Oh, yeah. How you doing? Real quick, before I get into my question, I was just going to say, I think the three-point ball is a little overrated these days. Guys focus on taking that high percentage shot versus taking that high percentage shot these days. So,
I don't know, James. If you can't make the three-pointer, but maybe more so in the NBA. But you know, you got to have some three-point shooting. But anyway, I don't want to throw you off.
I was going to say. As far as the Georgetown job is concerned, I wanted to get the panel's thoughts, because I know Pitino's name was floating around. Pitino, mm-hmm. great coach and everything, heck of a recruiter, but he's about 70 years old. Mike Gray, mm-hmm. great at Notre Dame, did some great things, area guy, but he struggled the last couple of years at NB. I don't know what the big fuss is about Ed Cooley. I'm not high on Cooley. He's at Providence. That's not a big-time basketball school.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that.
Okay. Let me start with you on this one. Winston, what's your thoughts on James's thoughts
okay.
on this Georgetown job?
Pitino, I'm kind of with you on that one. A school like Georgetown, and with Pitino's history at Louisville and several other of his stops, mm-hmm. I don't know if they're ready to take on that burden. Mm-hmm. Ed Cooley at Providence, I think he's a great coach. Unfortunately, you know, you probably are in the Ed Cooley game a little bit too late. I would have liked to have seen him here earlier, but you know, Georgetown is what it is, and they got Ewing. Thought it was good at the time, but ended up not being the case. Mike Bray, you know, he has local ties. The Matha guy, and was a good guy at Notre Dame. Just so happened that Notre Dame ended up, you know, in the ACC, and I will throw this name out there, and I have not talked to him about anything about this, but I certainly would love to see, if you're talking about a local guy that knows basketball and knows this area, it would be a Virginia Tech assistant coach, Mike Jones, who used to coach at DeMatha.
Right.
He coaches at USA Basketball. If I were Georgetown, I would be making that call, and I'd probably have somebody else call as well again, and then have somebody else, thirdly, call him again, try to entice him to come back home towards this area. It's going to be – Georgetown has its hands full, and, you know, no, Ronnie Thompson's over there, and he's kind of running that show along with Lee Reed and the folks over there. So they have their work cut out for them, but they definitely do have some names that are, you know, that would be great basketball people to run the show over there.
What do you think, Kelsey? Do you think they need to go after a big name or just a good coach? And those two don't have to be mutually exclusive, obviously.
Right. No, I think this is such a good question because, you know, Georgetown basketball, we all wanted to get back to its glory days, you know, mm-hmm. of Georgetown, back when Patrick Ewing was playing, not as much as coaching. And, you know, you look at it 7-25 this season. And I think, you know, I think Winston touched on it, but I think the biggest thing is we need a coach that can recruit, a person that can, you know, get into contact, get in touch with these young guys. Let's remember how the portal is now and how easy it is to transfer. And, you know, I think Georgetown right now has to be able to attract big name players to come to the university. And I'll tell you, when I'm talking to young guys now, Georgetown is not on their radar for the Stars, mm-hmm. you know, and you look next door and what Kevin Willard was able to do at the University of Maryland in his first years. And oh, by the way, he was able to bring D&D prospects to the University of Maryland, something that even Gary Williams Bermonte used to get criticized
mm-hmm.
for. And
mm-hmm.
so I think the big question here is who's going to be able to relate to these young guys? Who's going to be able to bring in local talent? Winston touched on a lot of the names, but I mean, I'm someone that's covered Georgetown. I've also worked at Georgetown. Let's remember Georgetown is a Catholic university. The boosters do have say. We're hearing that Lee Reed will have more input into this coaching decision that he didn't have as much before. But Georgetown is also a university that the president is going to have a lot of say in as head coach. So all that to say, I think if it's somebody with any controversy in their background, I don't think they get this job.
Which is Pitino.
Right. So mm-hmm. just putting that out there again, because think about the university and its principles. I think the other thing, you know, Jay Williams was a guy, you know, I know he caused controversy before, but he said he wanted the job. And to be honest with you, a lot of folks are kind of scared of this Georgetown job, you know, because of the hole that needs to be filled. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when you think about it, I think the caller mentioned it, but, you know, you do have older coaches out there. But if I'm Georgetown, you know, we know Patrick Ewing, but you'd be surprised when you talk to younger prospects here, like, right? So mm-hmm. who is somebody that they can really relate to? We live in a what have you done for me lately type of world. So they really need a coach that has won, you know, to get guys to believe again in Georgetown. Because right now, I mean, Georgetown became the laughingstock of the Big East, you know, struggling to win conference games. So who is a guy that can fix this? So if I'm Georgetown, I want a big name. But I also, again, want a guy with some type of local connections to be able to get the talent that's already here in the DMV to stay home here in the nation's capital.
Kelsey, I just wanted to jump in. One thing that a friend of mine said, you know, and this would take care of all of that. What happens if Allen Iverson wanted to come and coach Georgetown?
Don't even
Everybody's coming to Georgetown.
And then we have to go practice.
Yeah.
You want me to have practice? We don't need practice, but anyway.
I left.
I'm detouring.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, James. Hopefully the panel answered all your questions. I think they did. Have a good night.
Let's quickly pivot. I got to get this in real quick because I want to get to the ladies, and I know we don't have a whole lot of time left, and I didn't mean to do that. But Maryland, Virginia on the men's side, give me your sort of quick snapshot, Kelsey. Either one, UVA 4 seed, Maryland an 8 seed. Do you see either one of them having a shot to really get deep into the tournament?
You know, I got to talk about my Terps for months.
I know, you and I.
People super excited about University of Maryland.
No, but they struggled near the end, Kelsey.
They struggled near the end. The biggest thing for Maryland is Bramante. They play great basketball at home.
Yes.
If you get to Xfinity Center, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they're the Warriors.
What's the problem, Kelsey? On the road, they have trouble. And what are they going to do? They're going down to Birmingham, Alabama, and playing on the road. So I think for Maryland, they're going to have to clean that up. But again, what Kevin Willard has done, and I want to shout him out, only one of 7 coaches nationally to reach this tournament in his first season. He's got people to believe in Maryland basketball again. But again, their job is not going to be easy when you're going against a West Virginia team and a very experienced head coach. So I'm a little bit worried, Bramante.
I know. And you know how we do in those early rounds. And again, just struggling. Now, you know, Kelsey and I both Terrapins, so you know now I'm bleeding my heart here. Can't beat Penn State in football or basketball. It's just driving me crazy. But anyway, I know we're running out of time, and I'm about to go on a rant. What's your thoughts about Maryland, Winston?
Maryland's going to have a tough time against West Virginia. Bob Huggins, any of Bob Huggins' team
rough
is
and tough.
Exactly old school Big yes. East basketball. You know, there will be 100 fouls in the game. I think if Maryland will have the white jerseys on, right?
Oh,
I think they might win. Those are their home jerseys, right?
Yeah,
let's
I like that.
Let's spin it that way.
Okay.
As far as UVA is concerned, I actually have them going up against Alabama in the Sweet 16. It might be Alabama. It might be if it were football. It's
I was going to say, and it's amazing we're talking about Alabama on the basketball side.
Yeah.
You could have Alabama winning this national championship. This kid, they're letting him play, Brandon Miller.
Yeah.
And again, we don't have enough time to get into all of that.
Right.
The show, really, we probably need to be an hour and a half. Before we leave out, I do want to hit the ladies just a little bit. Maryland, Kelsey, they're a number 2 seed, but I think they're in South Carolina's bracket, right?
Yes.
Oops.
Yeah, so the thing about Maryland, I mean, yes, it's going to be not easy for the women as well, but I think this Maryland program, give Brenda Freeze her credit. They lost all but one returning starter. She had to build a new team with 9 new players, folks. I mean, that's not easy to do. Again, going back to the transfer portal, led largely by senior guard Diamond Miller. So I think this Maryland women's team, they've been against the odds pretty much all season. So again, not going to be easy for them. A number 2 seed, but Brenda Freeze, you know, Brenda Freeze we trust, and obviously she is a winning coach, but the ladies are also going to have to go through the rough and tough if they want to become champions this year, but just props on what they were able to do with what they had.
Winston, South Carolina, Dawn Staley,
the only way that South Carolina loses at all is whether or not they beat themselves. Now, I will say this, Maryland did play South Carolina earlier this season. It wasn't a blowout.
Good.
That's good. That's good. So,
low bar.
And Brenda said this the other day. She said that, you know, she actually is more confident facing a team a second time. So, you know, they'll actually know what South Carolina is going to throw at them. And she can preach that to her players like, hey, look, you've already seen what they got. Now let's go out and play our game. So if Maryland were to advance that far, I think that would be an Elite Eight matchup with the chance to go to the Final Four. You know, Maryland might have a shot. An undersized team against that, you know, Aaliyah Boston and all of those players with Dawn Staley. It'll be a tough matchup, but, you know, that's why you play the game, right?
Yeah. We got about a minute left. Kelsey, can I ask you for your picks on the men and the women, or do you not want to go there?
Oh, my gosh. You know, for the men's side, you know, you talked about it. Alabama looks good. I just watched their most recent game. Of course, a lot of conversation about Brandon Miller and his future. But all that to say, I mean, if they can play their basketball, they're going to be a very hard team to beat. I think on the women's side, you all just summed it up for me. I mean, it's going to be hard to beat Coach Dawn. And, you know, obviously on the women's side, I think it's just destiny. And I think what she's been able to build in a dynasty at South Carolina.
What are your picks there, Winston?
I got my two consultants, my twins. let's see, I got Alabama, Indiana. I have Purdue and UCLA. UCLA wins in one bracket. Houston wins in the other bracket. So that's what I got. In women, it's South Carolina. Sorry.
I know. That's all right. If we can just get there, let's just get to the regional final. We'll be happy. Kelsey?
You got to take that.
We'll take
that. That's all we want, sir. She'd make us proud.
That's
yes.
right.
Yes.
She is Kelsey Nicole Nelson, sports reporter, host extraordinaire, and Winston Hilton, sports producer and reporter with WJLA-TV. Thank you both so much for being with us. Always fun talking sports when they let me do it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kelsey.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
That's the Daily Drama on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, March 14th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.